1998 may not have been such a good year for the politics of peace, love, and understanding, but it was a very good year for fiction. Here's book critic Maureen Corrigan's Best Books of the Year list.
Those lit crit Grinches who look toward the end of the millennium with dread and continue to tiresomely pronounce the death of the novel clearly haven't bothered to read much new fiction lately. For if they had, they would be overwhelmed by the bounty of good books that writers, both fresh and seasoned, have cranked out this year. Every time a superb first novel, like Martha Cooley's The Archivist, appears, its hearty voice drowns out the mewlings of literary doomsayers. The Archivist focuses on T.S. Eliot's private life and reveals that the great poet was by no means a hollow man. The Hours by Michael Cunningham is another old English major's delight. It recreates, times three, the situation of Virginia Woolf's novel Mrs. Dalloway. Ethan Kanan's amazing For Kings and Planets invokes the mood of The Great Gatsby. Far from being shamed by the comparison, Kanan's novel shimmers. And shifting literary sources somewhat, Robert Hellinga's magnificent The Fall of a Sparrow turns to the classics for inspiration. Like Homer's Ulysses, Hellinga's hero stumbles into unwanted adventures, including a confrontation with terrorists, before sailing home to a measured peace. Onward now to the old prose. The antic grace of John Irving's A Widow for 1 Year made this awestruck reader fall down and worship. Irving's story opens in a death-haunted house and ends 4 decades later with a wedding in that very same house. Like the great Victorian novelists whose work his own sprawling books consciously resemble, Irving is an author god whose grand fictional designs encompass the whole of life. In Philip Roth's latest novel, I Married a Communist, a character does a riff on the televised Nixon funeral that's so brilliant, it alone should win Roth the Medal of Freedom, one of the few prizes, along with the Nobel, he hasn't been awarded. Alice McDermott's Charming Billy, which just deservedly won the National Book Award, is a controlled masterpiece about loss and fleeting time and the foolish valor of remaining loyal to dreams that will never come true. Another National Book Award winner, Holes by Lewis Sachar, is an amazing young adult novel that takes place in, of all unlikely places, a boy's juvenile detention camp. It's a marvel of a story. Buy it for a kid you know and read it first yourself. Other literary genres also produced sugar plums in 1998. Laurie Moore's short story collection, Birds of America, is distinguished by her trademark laughing-in-the-dark tone. Dorothy Herman's nuanced portrait of Helen Keller in her biography, Helen Keller, A Life, gives us a human Helen who liked her martinis and mink coats and who advocated birth control, women's rights, and socialism. Everybody Was So Young, Amanda Vale's captivating biography of Lost Generation patrons Gerald and Sarah Murphy, corrected my mistaken impression of the Murphys as artistic parasites. Rather, it's world-class moochers like Hemingway and Fitzgerald who come out looking shabby here. Vale demonstrates that the Murphys deserve to be celebrated in their own right, if for no other reason, for bringing to perfection the concept of summer vacation. Vacation always makes me think of mysteries, and I stumbled upon a treasure this year. Charles Todd's remarkable post-World War I novel, Wings of Fire. Todd's hero is a Scotland Yard inspector who's partnered with the ghost of a shell-shocked corporal. This detective pairing of the quick and the dead might have produced something contrived and cute, but the mournful and highly literary texture of Todd's mystery places it in a category closer to Pat Barker's World War I trilogy than it does to Topper. The mystery of why Ted Hughes decided this year to break his long silence about Sylvia Plath in his poetry collection called Birthday Letters was sadly solved last month when Hughes died of cancer. Some of these narrative poems are marvelous, baffled and angry, vivid and raw. All those years of living in the shadow of Lady Lazarus clearly taught the once taciturn Hughes a thing or two about the pleasures of finally giving way to fury.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University.